In the gospel story today, Jesus and the disciples are on their way to Capernaum and after that on the way to Jerusalem. Jesus, as I see it, is ahead of the disciples and they're walking in a group behind him. And as they go, they're arguing with each other. John, son of Zebedee, says, "Now when we get to Jerusalem, Jesus is going to be busy and so I'm going to be in charge because I'm the oldest. And so you guys listen to me." And James, the brother of Jesus, says, No. I'm the brother of our Lord, and leadership always passes from one to the next of kin. And so I'm the one who's going to be in charge when we're in Jerusalem." And John, the beloved disciple, says, No. I'm the one who's closest to Jesus. So I know what he really wants. So you all should listen to me." Philip says, No. I'm the one who knows Greek. And when we get to Jerusalem, you guys aren't going to have a clue. You listen to me when we get to Jerusalem." So they go on and on, back and forth. You can imagine 12 guys competing with each other, trying to decide who is the greatest. They get to Capernaum and they go into the house, and Jesus, of course, knows what they've been talking about. And he calls them to come in, and he sits down. In Jesus' time, when the teacher wanted to teach, the teacher would sit down. That was the teaching posture. And it's when you're the rabbi. And so that means this is something serious, and you should listen up. And Jesus says to them, "Whoever wants to be first must be last of all and servant of all." And the disciples, I'm sure, are perplexed. They can't understand what Jesus is saying. Why would I want to be last of all? And what's wrong with being first? What can he possibly mean? How can you be first of all if you're last of all? And what's wrong with being great anyway? And then Jesus does something that's even more perplexing. He sees a little child, a little girl, and he brings the little girl over and he sets the little girl in the midst of them. And he says, "Whoever welcomes one such child in my name welcomes me. And whoever welcomes me welcomes not me, but the one who sent me." And I'm sure this confuses the disciples even more so. I mean, in Jesus' time, a child was of no account. A child was just a burden, another mouth to feed, a nuisance. A child had no agency, no power, no ability to do anything. And so why would Jesus possibly take a child and use that as a model in their midst? I'm sure they're confused. And I can relate to their confusion, because Jesus seems to be very paradoxical here. What does it mean that the first must be last and the last must be first? How can we make any sense of that? I mean, don't we all try to become better, more competent, to expand our sphere of influence? Don't we all aspire to greatness of some kind or another? What's wrong with being great? And of course, Jesus, what he's doing here is he's teaching an alternative wisdom. The wisdom of the world is that we should all try to be the greatest. But Jesus is teaching an unconventional wisdom, an alternative wisdom that says, be last and be servant of all. So, what's the matter with being great? We all want to be great. Well, I think that when we are great in our own eyes, we begin to lose the sense of who we really are. We begin to forget where we came from, and we begin to forget our values. It's tempting to think that we really are that great. My brother was laid off when the dot-com bubble burst years ago, and he decided that he would start his own business. He always wanted to have his own business, so he started a business as a consulting engineer, as an electrical engineer. especially for internet access. He had a little money saved up. He had the severance pay, and so he had something to start with, and he used some of his contacts to get some business. It wasn't a lot, small jobs here and there. Kind of kept him going, but as time went on, the money started to run out, and he started to get quite anxious and worried. And of course, my sisters and my mother and I, we tried to support him because, you know, we wanted him to succeed and we wanted to show him that we were behind him. And so we came fairly close to him during that time. But then he figured out how to make money. And he helped some small communities get some grants from the federal government for internet access expansion, and then he designed a system that would work, and then he wrote a contract so that he would manage the construction of this new grid. And boy, things started happening. He rented a place for an office, and he started hiring people on, and you know, he started feeling pretty good about himself, and he became more confident. In fact, maybe a little too confident. And he started sort of telling us how things were. And I said to my sister, you know, I think I liked him better when he was struggling. It's not that he was a bad person. It's just that when you get to a level where you're really succeeding, you kind of forget where you came from sometimes. You know, when we become great, we think, you know, I really am pretty good. I really do deserve this. I really do have the answers, and I really I really ought to be telling other people what to do. We think that we ought to be in charge. We think we're different. And when it goes on long enough, we start to think, well, the rules don't really apply to me because I'm great. And that's when the problem happens. Not everybody. I'm not saying everybody who is at the top has this problem, but it's a temptation when we get to the top to forget where we came from. We lose our empathy for others. We lose our compassion, and we lose our humility. And we are tempted to misuse our power. I think the reason that Jesus put a little child in the midst of the disciples was to remind them that the powerful always need to be aware of the powerless. I watched an interview this week of Sally Field, the great actress by Diane Sawyer. She was interviewing her because she'd just written this book called In Pieces. And Sally Field talks about when she was a child, she experienced sexual abuse from her stepfather. But the way she coped with it was kind of by dissociating. And she was one person when it was happening, but she was another person altogether when she was in her real life. And then she used that as becoming an actress. And so the first roles that she had were these perky, smiley, always cheerful roles, Gidget and the Flying Nun, you know. Everybody loved her because she was just so charming and perky all the time. Although she was also coping at the same time with this experience of sexual abuse, but she was able to compartmentalize her life. That's why she called the book In Pieces. She went on to take on more serious roles, Norma Rae and Sybil and Steel Magnolias, and she won a number of awards, Emmys and Academy Awards. Truly a great actress. Diane Sawyer asked her, well, why did you come out with this book now? Was it because of the Me Too movement and other women who are trying to tell their stories of harassment and abuse? And she said, yes. It was so hard for me to tell what had happened to me. It took me years. I was full of shame at what had happened to me. I felt somehow I had been complicit in it, and so I felt guilty. I was afraid for what might happen to me and my family, and so it took me years and years to even mention it to anybody, and then years of therapy until finally, now at the age of 71, I'm able to tell this story. And Diane Sawyer asked her, well, what did you do to overcome this and put it behind you? She says, you never put it behind you. It's always there. You never forget. Well, what happened to Sally Field should never happen to anyone. It was because her stepfather used his power over her as a child. She was a helpless little child. She had no way to stop what was happening. And he had all the power. Jesus put a child in front of the disciples to emphasize that children are the most vulnerable and the most powerless. He says, God doesn't care about how great you are. God cares about those who are least and last, the little children. I guess you might say today I put Sally Field as a little child in front of us so that we might think about that. So what Jesus is saying to the disciples is change your frame of reference from you who are first and remember those who are last. Whoever welcomes one such child in my name welcomes me, and who welcomes me welcomes not me, but the one who sent me. True greatness comes not from being first, but by remembering what it means to be last. Amen.